Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise.
They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone begged him to go with them. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him.
Friends, it's really wonderful to be with you today. You have heard, I'm Archdeacon of Lewisham and Greenwich. I started in this role last September, so just coming up to a year of being in the role. And before then, as I was saying earlier, I had been in Forest Gate, and I was a vicar in Forest Gate for 14 years. And you know, when I was appointed Archdeacon, I felt the thing I was going to miss the most was being in the same church week after week with the same congregation, because I had done that, you know, for the past more or less 25 years. I've been in parish ministry for 25 years. So the thought of going to different churches, I just wasn't looking forward to it. Actually, every Sunday, going to a different church as an archdeacon. And do you know that that has turned out to be the thing that I enjoy the most? You know, just the opportunity of being with a new group of Christians every Sunday. It's been a surprising blessing that God has given to me having become an archdeacon. So believe me when I say that I'm really glad that I'm with you guys today. And I don't know whether you normally have refreshment after the service. So I'm going to be around, and then there will be opportunities to chat and understand more of the similarities and differences between Ian and I. but you know, certainly be happy to answer any questions that anybody has. So yeah, I'm really happy to be with you today. Turning to our passage and our message for today, I want to ask you a question. Many of you probably know about this. How many of you here have watched a film about a superhero, like Superman? Has anybody, well, Superman, yes? Yeah, many of you know Superman. So what is Superman's greatest strength? What is, normally, Superman, for those who don't know, is a sort of a normal person who goes about his business, and then suddenly he is transformed. And what happens when he's transformed? He does, yes, he does save people and help people. But the thing that is most striking is that he can fly around. He just developed the ability to fly. And that's for Superman. Another superhero that is quite popular, again, is Spider-Man. And in case of Spider-Man, he gets transformed. And then he will actually start climbing on things, you know, start climbing on the walls of buildings and so on. He just develops the ability to climb from absolutely nowhere. Now, I want to ask you about one. This is a character that I used to watch when I was in Nigeria, but I'm sure you all, some of you would know this. Do people know the Incredible Hulk? Exactly. The Incredible Hulk, for those who don't know, is about, you know, this man who is quite gentle, not particularly big, but if he becomes really angry, he gets really, really big, gets massive, and develops muscles in all kinds of places, and then begins to do amazing things. And I was thinking about these people and the transformation that they go through, and I was comparing them with Jesus, and it strikes me that one of the main differences with them is that whereas they kind of get transformed, in the case of Jesus, he transforms the situation. It is the situation that Jesus meets that gets transformed. And there are so many examples that we can take about this. Many of you will know the story of the calming of the storm, when his disciples were afraid that they were going to drown, and the sea, you know, the waves was throwing their boat around. And Jesus calmed the storm, essentially transformed the situation and took away their fear and saved them from drowning. Another one that many of you will remember is the story of how a lot of people ended up in a desert place, hungry, thousands of people, and there was no food. And Jesus, by blessing just a small amount of food, fish and bread, was able to feed these thousands of people. Again, bringing out some transformation, enabling them to get fed so that they're not tired and hungry, and some of them could have collapsed or whatever. Jesus transformed that situation. Or the several examples in the Bible where people were ill, maybe somebody's blind or somebody who can't speak or somebody who's paralyzed. And Jesus, by praying for them, transforms their life. In all this situation, we see what is a demonstration of the power of Jesus, but also a demonstration that is for the benefit of the people there. There is power being demonstrated. There is also goodness being demonstrated. And we get something of that in our gospel reading of today. In today's gospel reading, we hear this encounter between Jesus and this man, who the story tells us is possessed. If you think about the man and his life before the encounter and compare it with his life afterwards, you will get a sense of the transformation that Jesus brings to him. We are told that the man used to run around without clothes, terrorizing people, apparently lived in a tomb, or didn't live in houses. But after the encounter with Jesus, there he was sitting with Jesus, and as he said in the passage, in his right mind. Just think about the transformation that Jesus brought to the life of that man. And it wouldn't have been just him. It would also have been those who knew him, his friends and relatives, all those who have lived in the anguish of seeing a loved one in that kind of situation. It is fair to say that also for the man, he had no life before Jesus encountered him. But here he was, now in his right mind, sitting quietly with Jesus, completely, a complete human being. A story of transformation. But this story doesn't end there, because there is an aspect of this story which is quite important. And that is the fact that the man wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "No, don't come with me. Go and tell of what God has done for you." Jesus said, "Go and tell others what God has done for you." Jesus could see that the man was grateful, but Jesus didn't want him to use all that gratitude to focus on him, to start kind of worshiping him. Jesus wanted him to put all that gratitude into going out to tell people about God and what God had done for him. And what Jesus was also showing there is that he realizes that that's how the kingdom of God spreads. The kingdom of God spreads by those who have been transformed by God, those who have been affected by God, going out to transform and affect others. That's how the kingdom spreads. If you like, some kind of an outreach, you know, reaching out beyond oneself to affect others, rather than turning in and focusing on Jesus, the person who brought that about. And sisters and brothers, this is relevant for us. It's relevant for us as individuals, because I'm sure many of us sitting here would have felt the transforming power of God in our own lives. It might be by turning to Jesus, and through that getting new meaning and new perspective in life, having completely different values that you used to have, or different values than from what the world has. It could be that. Or it could be what you see in what God is doing in the life of other people, or maybe things that God, particular ways that God has touched you, particular thing that you may have asked God about, and he did it, and he changed you through that. For whatever reason, and in whatever way you have felt this transforming power of God, what Jesus says to this man, he also says to you, go and tell others of what God has done for you. Because it is in that the kingdom of God spreads. Now, as many of you know, I have been supporting your PCC, and the church wardens, and all your leaders here during this period of vacancy. Bridget, of course, is my colleague as Archdeacon now, Archdeacon of Wandsworth. But I've been working with James and others regarding this church and the future and so on. And through that, I have actually got to know much more about your church, the Good Shepherd, than I knew before. And I have to tell you that it does gladden my heart that you are a church that takes pleasure in reaching out to your community. You know, the various things that you have, activities you have in your other church, the way in which you welcome organizations that are based in the community to come and use your building, or how you engage outside to support these organizations. All those activities, in all those ways, what you are doing is that you are telling the people who are out there what God has done for you, both as individuals and as a church. And I thank God for you. I thank God that you are doing that. And I hope and pray that you will continue to do that. You will continue to have that kind of outward focused posture, because that is the way in which the kingdom of God spreads. Now, the encounter between Jesus and the man was not the end of the story. Many of you would have heard that in that story, that there were people who came and saw the man sitting quietly, and they were, according to the story, they became afraid. And indeed, they became hostile because they told Jesus to leave them, to go away. We don't know why they reacted in that way. Maybe it's because they were afraid that things were going to change from what it used to be. They were afraid that whatever they had in place, Jesus was going to change it. Maybe that's what made them afraid. And sometimes people who want things to continue to be the way it's always been can resist change in this way. They can resist anything that is new. And that might be why they reacted in this way. And I have to say to you, sisters and brothers, that that is something else which I have noticed about your church, the Good Shepherd. If you don't mind my saying it, you do not react in this way. All the encounters that I've had with you as a church tells me that you are a church that want to be open. You are a church that want to be welcoming. Welcoming to people, whatever the background, and however they are. You are not a church that are likely to become afraid that new things are going to happen. And I want to also commend you in that. I want to commend you. I want to thank God again for you, for keeping you open, for making you be these people who are happy to welcome other people and being open for how God might use them, being open for what they may bring. Because that is not easy, as we see from the passage. Whatever was making those people to become afraid, based on what Jesus had done to this man, I pray that you never experience that. And from what I see, you actually do not at this time. So as you go through this period of vacancy, those are two key things I hope that God will keep you steadfast in, keeping you outward looking, you know, being ready to tell of what God has done for you, but also keeping you open to God, what God might want to do, and welcoming of people, however they look and however they sound, because of course God can use anyone. But I want to finish by saying that obviously we don't expect everyone to be like that, not just in the church, but outside the church. So when you go out on your mission, don't be surprised if there are people who might become afraid because of what you might bring or what God might do through you. Don't be surprised. And don't be surprised if they become hostile, because that comes from a place of fear. But I want to encourage you, just like the man was not put off, and just like Jesus himself was never put off by people's hostility, that you never be put off as you reach out to the world outside the church, and that you stay committed to expressing that gratitude that you have for what God has done in your life, expressing that in your outreach to people outside the church.